My name is John Edward Atkinson. I was born at number 1 Alma Yard, Alma Street, Woodlesford. My father was John Edward Atkinson, and he was a miner at Water Egg Colliery. I think he was a ripper. A ripper went in after the face was cut and tidied up the side and cleaned up all round. That's what, as far as I know. I don't know much about coal cutting or anything. But there he was. He was there. He worked until, I can't remember the year. Oh, the year I was away in the army, and he got thrombosis in his leg and nearly died. And after that, he walked with two sticks. My father came from Glasshoughton, Castleford. Now, my parents, when they got married, they bought a brand new semi-detached house in Glasshoughton, and they lived in that. My sister was born there. She's 7 years older than me, Margaret. And they lived there for about a year or so, and then the big strike came, the miners' strike, and he was unemployed. They were unemployed for months and months, so they lost the house. From then, they moved to Woodlesford, where my mother's family, the Nottons, lived. And they moved to, as I say, 1 Alma Yard. He still worked in Castleford, and he used to walk to work. If you could believe that, that's what he told me. I think it was, there was no buses or something. If you worked on nights and things, and he used to walk. And he said, I used to walk to work, go down, and then have to walk to the face. When I'd finished his shift, he had to walk all the way back. I can remember him coming home in, covered in coal, black, and usual bath in front of the fire. And then he got a job, and he thanked God that they got showers at Water Egg, which he loved. He thought that was wonderful. My mum's name was Ada Notton. Now, she was born in Woodlesford. She went to Woodlesford School. But the Notton family originally came from Pontefract. And I think that's where my mother and father met. They met at one of my relatives, was a big builder in Castleford, and he built the house my mother bought and my father bought. Now, they met at a party at his house one day. This is what my aunt told me. And they got married, lived in Glasshoughton until they lost the house and came to live with the Nottons. Now, my grandfather Notton was John William. Now, he was a blacksmith. He worked at the brewery. He was a blacksmith at the brewery. His forge, it was opposite the main gates of the brewery, across the road, across Haverford Road, a stone building. One of my aunts told me a story. She used to go down from Woodlesford School to see her grandfather at the forge, and he used to take his sandwiches in a packet, put it near the forge fire, and they used to dry, and he never ate them. She used to go down and eat these sandwiches. She loved the dry sandwiches. That was one of her memories. He was a blacksmith and a champion farrier. Now, he only had one eye. He lost an eye with the steel flying off the anvil. He had a patch on one eye, a black patch. And he looked after the pit ponies at Water Egg as well. My first memories, I must have been 2, because I was walking. There used to be, just before Alma Yard, a rough track that ran down to Pottery Hill. And there was a stone wall that dropped down about 6 foot, I think, from memory. And somebody said to me when I was 2 years old, don't ever go down that path, John. And I remember those words. And that was when about... I remembered lots of things when I was young, when I was a baby, 2 or 3 years old. Actually, we moved from Alma Yard to 10 Holmesley Lane, which was directly opposite the wreck. Recreation ground and the soccer pitch. The goalposts at the top end of the soccer pitch faced straight into our lounge window. We lived in a one up and one down, so we got a few broken windows.
When did you move? Do you know how old you were when you moved?
Oh, about 2, 3, because I remember from there my sister, who was 7 years older than me, taking myself and my cousin Irene Lindley. We were both little, in a pushchair, so we can't be that big, up Holmesley Lane. Now, she took us to walk, and as far as Gypsy Lane, and there were some gypsies there, and she was terrified of gypsies, and she turned round and screamed, and ran all the way home, and we were clinging to the pushchair. I remember that vividly. And another thing, I remember we walked one day, it was the Zeppelin, was it the Zeppelin that flew over from Leeds? And we walked to just the beginning of Holmesley Lane there, and you could see the airship going over Rothwell, beyond Rothwell. I think they followed the Leeds Wakefield Road. Anyway, they went from there down the Ouse to Hull and across to Europe. That's what I've read since.
So you moved to number 10 Holmesley Lane when you were about two. Just describe where that house was and tell me about that house, then.
Well, there was Alton Lane, butler's shop, which was started off as a sweet shop, but they made it longer and they sold second-hand furniture. And then there was a coal house, and then our house, and two next door. We were the one up, one down, and the two next door were two bedrooms. The Fishers lived next door with the two boys. His wife had died, and Johnny, he gave me a Woodlesford Wheelers badge, a shield, cycling club, which I've lost since. And next door to them was Sparlings. They were a Swedish family, a couple. They came from Sweden. Their next house was the last house, was the detached big house with a wall all round, high wall. And I can't remember who lived there. And across the road, there was nothing. There was just a wreck. From our house, there was about a yard, I'll give you it in English, a yard footpath, and then the road, narrow road, another footpath, a wall that had been knocked down, a stone wall, and then about 2 10, probably about 3 yards beyond that was a goalpost, because the pits faced north and south, and it sloped down towards the fields, Earth's fields. Now, the middle of the pitch from the goal mouth right down to the bottom goal mouth was nothing but clay. There was grass on either side, on either wing, but down the middle it was just clay and runnels where water had run down. Now that's the pitch we used to play on.
Did the school play on that pitch and other teams?
No. All that played on that was, on a Sunday morning, usually, I used to be in bed and I could hear the ball, somebody would bring a football, because not many people owned footballs in those days, and somebody would bring a football and start kicking it, and if I jump and off without breakfast, I'm kicking a football around, and then as the day went on, more people came, more kids, more adults came, and we finished up with teams of about 30 a side. Now, about lunchtime, a lot of the adults disappeared for the lunch, and we kept playing, and after lunch, a lot come back until dinner time, and then it all disappeared, but we kept playing until it was too dark to see. Kids kept playing. I used to shout across to my mother, "Mother, I'm hungry." And she'd run on the field with a jam sandwich or whatever she had. And I used to play with this jam sandwich eating it while the game was on.
And how old would you be then?
Anything from 5 upwards. Okay. Because little kids played, old men played, every age played, you know. The little kids played and they were looked after and nobody ever got hurt, I don't remember.
Can you remember what else used to happen on the wreck?
At the end of the wreck, now, they talk about vandals today. Now, by the time I was growing up there, there used to be the swings. Now, the first was a roundabout. The second was, it's in the photograph somewhere, a little roundabout, which lasted the longest. Next to that were the swings. And next to that, there was a big slide. And beyond that was a paddling pool. Now, when I was, you couldn't play, the only thing you could play on was a little roundabout. The rest had been vandalised, ripped apart. You couldn't climb, but there was no steps to the slide, and everything, all the swings had disappeared. So we always said it was the big boys. We always blamed the big boys. Now, when the war began, they came round collecting iron, and they cut everything down and threw everything, all the swings and slides, onto a truck. And they went round cutting all everybody's metal iron, wrought iron fences down. And that's when Whittlesford School lost its fences. It had iron railings between stone pillars. We lost all the iron railings all around the village, unless they were protective over the steps or, you know, that could be dangerous, they were removed. But everything else was removed. And away went the swings. The paddling pool was a big paddling pool made of concrete. It wasn't very deep, about 18 inches. And it was full of rubble and rainwater, broken bottles. Every year on the soccer pitch, all the kids and the fathers used to go out with spades and string and lines. And we used to mark out the soccer field, all the touch lines and the penalty area. We did this by digging the sods up about 6 inches wide and a foot long, and you dug them up and turned them over so it had earth. And the grass never grew on them, you see, for the season. So you didn't have to mark it out. We only did that once, and everybody was out there one afternoon, probably it took us all, to remark out the soccer pitch. My father, I'll tell you a thing about my father. Now, he was a classic. He was a rabid communist, and he was known as Russian Jack. My father was never called John, he was always called Jack. And he was a communist. I was brought up on the Daily Worker, the communist newspaper. And he used to preach communism around the pubs, around Alt and Woodlesford. So he was known as, everybody knew him as Russian Jack. And he was a member of the Communist Party. And they used to come, different communists, and have meetings at our house. And he was such a communist as when I'll go ahead, if I can, on this little bit. I got a scholarship to Wakefield. And he wasn't going to let me go. He said to me, "Those who don't work don't eat." Which was, I think in Russia they did this. If you didn't work in Russia, you didn't eat. Anyway, somebody must have come in, and one of the probably teachers, and talked him around and let me go. But that's getting ahead of the game. But he was a communist, and that's about it, you know.
When you say he had meetings, and there were meetings at your house, do you know, I mean, how many people came? Did he have a big following or what?
No, there were only 4 or 5. They wanted him to stand for an election, and he refused. They used to meet as well up in Rothwell, on Shonagorns.